Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I just ask for an anointing upon my lips to speak your truth, your word that you have pressed on my heart, Lord, and that you would block out any distractions, Lord, that this is the time that you have created. This is the time you are calling us higher, Lord, that we would focus and dial in on what your frequency, what you are trying to tell the church, that we would be bold in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 10, 37 through 39 says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." The title of this message is, "Don't Turn Back." Don't turn back. One of the greatest rebukes that Jesus has in Scripture was of those who didn't recognize the signs of his first coming. The signs of our generation are unmistakably clear, folks. And yet so many people miss them because they're not watching. They're not watching. They're not looking for Jesus Christ. They're not even looking at it as a season. They're so out of touch with God. They're unaware of the season that the day of the Lord is about to bring and the rapture of the church. And that is why it's important for us that we emphasize, we watch and we pray. It's vital that we seek to understand that there's prophetic signs, which are God's supernatural warning system. It's like the other day when we had the 8 tornadoes around us, right? And if you had the TV on, it went, right? Warning, right? Okay. Think about that. Now put it in the stance of what we're seeing today. It's God's prophetic signs. It's a warning system that the end is near and that God's appointed day of wrath is drawing very, very close. Those signs include a rise of new order of globalization. We see the BRICS nation. Some of you are very in tune with this. They're talking in August. They're going to meet. They're talking about additions. There's some 40 countries that want to be added into this, which is very interesting that they're only considering 5. So there's 5 existing nations, 5 more potentially. And if you know scripture and prophecy, that says, that should put little hairs up on your back of your head. 10 kings, 10 toes in Daniel, 10 horns in Revelation. We'll see. I'm not saying thus say the Lord, but I'm just saying we should be in tune with that. And when we hear those types of numbers and say, what's going on here, right? We also know about, some of you know about the summit coming up in September, right, with the UN Sustainable Goals. They want to reaffirm their commitment to the Sustainable Goals of 2030. Some of that is digital IDs. In Forbes magazine, if you would like me, I could send you this article talking about digital identities and how the EU is mandating digital identity. They're mandating it. They're mandating it, and they believe by 2030, at a minimum, 80% of the EU will be using a digital identity, digital wallet, etc. From America's standpoint, there's a slower rollout, and part of that article talks about getting corporate America involved. A corporate America, which makes me think about, do you remember when King Charles at COP28 or whatever the conference, when he said we need the champion, the private global sector to marshal a vast military style campaign with trillions at his disposal, right? Do you remember that? Okay. That just makes me think about those things, right? We have all this swirl of data and things that we hear, but all of a sudden, things that kind of stand out, you're like, man, this is really getting interesting times at which we live in. Amen? We see an alliance of Russia, Iran, Turkey, and other nations, Ezekiel 38, right? We see Antichrist technology. We see there's a push for one world economic system. I sent you guys the article. I said, read that paragraph, right, about FedNow, okay? And the very last part says, you know, many believe that with FedNow, we won't even need the implementation of CBDCs. If they think we won't need it, that means they're already discussing to do it, right? Okay? So, again, we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but understand the signs in which we see. And these signs point to how close we are getting to the time of the end. These prophetic signs are happening in our lifetime, and they're converging at a massive scale all over the world. So that should cause you as a believer to wake up. Wake up. To be watchful for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ, because it's a bombardment of events. Or for the history man over here, it's a blitzkrieg, right? World War II style, bad lightning war. It's the events, they come. Like, and it's just, it's hard to keep up. You know, an article or a video gets posted, and within 2 days, it's like old news, and there's already something else coming. Versus 10 years ago, the guys, the prophetic watchmen, they were straining to find information and say, wow, what an exciting time. And that's what Jesus said, the birth pains would intensify. You would see those things, right? And I think we are turning the last corner of that race, that home stretch, right? And the hour's getting late. The stage is being set for many things to come, and those things will continue to accelerate. But even as we do that, I still don't know the Lord's return. You don't either, okay? You don't either. So that doesn't mean you give up on living life and doing those things, okay? But we are to be watchful. But concerning the times and seasons, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, you beloved, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Because compromise and distractions and diversions and total confusion are looking to break people down. People are like in a daze. They're in a daze. Confused. They're lost. And God's not the author of confusion, right? Satan is the author of confusion. He's the father of lies. He controls the world system. He's looking to break you down, to conform you to this world. The world's being conditioned for a reset, a change, and the world is about to change, and it's going to be one of great control in this world to control your life. And you only have access to that system when it rolls out. You only have access if you conform to its demands. So because you are on constant bombardment, that it's almost like the sedation process, right? Like try to sedate you to get you numb to it. Don't get lulled to sleep, folks. God is speaking, and he is warning us. The question is, do you take heed of the warnings? Noah, for 120 years, warned. Okay? Heed the warnings. Get your house. Get your families in order. Don't go back. Jesus said to Luke 9:62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No going back. No surrender, no retreat, folks. Remember Lot's wife, Luke 17. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. This is talking about the times of the end. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. You know, there's still some normalcy of life still going on, even in these days, okay? But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. Think of what I just read you in 1 Thessalonians 5, right? Sudden destruction comes upon them. So it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he was on the housetop and his goods are in the house. Let him come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who's in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Right? Pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. In Genesis 19, we have that account. In verses 12 through 29, the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city. Take them out of this place. Get out. For we will destroy this place. Again, you saw last week the mighty move of an angel, right? Yeah. Right? In that story with Hezekiah, okay? because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, the sins of Sodom. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his sons and or his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking, right? He's warning, and they just scoff and mock him. He's warning them, "Your destruction, there's destruction coming. You need to get out." You don't know what you're talking about. And the angel of the Lord told them this message. It was truth, wasn't it? It was truth. And they denied it. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters." Son-in-laws aren't going. They're not going. "Arise, take your wife and two daughters, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, right? Don't linger. Do not linger. Don't dabble on that line, right, of the world. Don't linger. The men took hold of his hand, of his wife's hands, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out, set him outside the city. And so it came to pass when they had brought them outside, they said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains," right? That's where you tell them to go. Like, we look to the mountains. That's where our hope comes from, right? Our hope comes from the Lord, right? They looked in the mountains. He said, "Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." And Lot said, no, please, my lords. "Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you've increased your mercy, which you've shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, the city is near enough to flee to and is a little one. Please let me escape there, and my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this, and that I will overthrow this city, for I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Because the Lord said it. Protect them. Okay? Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen up on the earth when Lot entered. Then the Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground? Poof. Gone. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw and behold the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. Now you read Revelation 17 and 18, you see the destruction and the merchants, and they see the destruction of Mystery Babylon. That's what I kind of picture here. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. So those cries out to the Lord, right? Because it became a Romans 1 society. Isn't it interesting how history repeats itself, right? You've heard that numerous times from this pulpit, that we are in a Romans 1 society, just as it was in the days of Noah. It was evil. And we are in a society where good is called evil and evil is called good. And it's a time where the truth of God is exchanged for a lie. And Scripture is clear that God's wrath will be revealed as a result of that. Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Isn't that what just happened in Genesis? Did you hear that? It came from heaven, right? Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's the condemnation that Jesus talked about when he's talking to Nicodemus. This is the condemnation. They're suppressing the truth. So we need to remember Lot's wife. She looked back at the old life. She didn't want to accept the reality that it was coming to an end. Even with God's warning, the place is going to be destroyed. It's like, I don't want to accept that. I'll just stick my head in the sand. Maybe in the salt. Soon? No. The lure of the past, right? It was too much for her to remain obedient. Her faith was not in the Word of God, it was in the world. And there's other examples of this throughout Scripture. Just Israel itself. Look at, they were set free from slavery and bondage and the whips of Pharaoh. They were set free from Egypt, the world. right? A picture of the world. They literally witnessed the power of God with the plagues, and most of all, the Passover, a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do for all of us, prophetically pointing to that time. They get to the Red Sea, and they say, what? There's not enough graves in Egypt, right? They pass through the sea. Pharaoh's armies are consumed, and what happens? They rebel and build a golden calf. Then, as a result of that, they're wandering in the wilderness. They have no food to eat. We had pots of meat and bread in Egypt. We should go back. The lure, right? To go back. And God provides manna from heaven, and they come upon bitter water, and they say, no, we need to go back to Egypt. So then God provides them with sweet-tasting water. Finally, they get to the promised land. They're at the threshold of the promised land, and they choose to listen to the lies of the spies, the 11 out of the 13. And their hearts are hardened, and they lacked faith, and they did not trust in God in all that they had been provided for and all that they had been delivered from. They missed it. They missed it, and they didn't get to go to the promised land. They had to wander in the wilderness until that generation died. I get it, folks. It's a trying time in which we live. For some of you, it's really intense. And there's often times where you feel like God has maybe forgotten about you, or that he doesn't care, or maybe his words are not true. It's not true. It's a lie. And it can feel at times like, man, the enemy is just winning. Right? The enemy's winning. And the enemy wants you to be in a state of worry and a state of doubt. That's part of his plan. It's because he wants to squash your faith. That's why. He doesn't want your faith to rise. He wants to suppress it. Even as the system moves to contain your faith to maybe just Sunday. Sunday you're walking in faith, the other days you're not. Or just limited to the walls of this church. And this is not the church. This is the church. The one with the heart that's alive. It's not the walls. I'm thankful that we have these. I remember when we were like gypsies going from like hotel places, holding service, breaking down all the equipment. Steve, you remember those times, Jesse? But if you doubt God's word, then it allows that. You know, the scripture talks about where they pursue fables rather than the truth, the sound doctrine. So if you start doubting God's word, that's where the enemy wants to creep in. And all of a sudden you start believing fables. So don't doubt God. Are you questioning maybe his plans? Remember, like again, the enemy feels like it's winning, they're succeeding. But guess what? That has to happen. If the Antichrist is going to have a kingdom, it has to get in place. So those things are going to happen in this life. You've heard it numerous times. In this world, you will have tribulation. It's not best life now. It is not. So we know we're going to see those things getting set up, but who are you going to trust in, right? Psalm 28 says, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplications. It's praying, right? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Your hearts were rejoicing gladly as we sang those songs in worship. You were thinking about a time to come, right? You had the joy of the Lord. The fruit, that fruit of the Spirit was ever abundant right here this morning. My heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. That's us. Here's the hard part, though. Even when it doesn't go your way, or the way you want it, you got to trust in God. You got to trust in his plan. You need to exercise that faith. seek his kingdom first. Not tomorrow, but today, right? Now faith, right? Today's faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Recall your faith. Every time doubt and worry come into play, recall the faith. Recall Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. All those stories you've heard now. That has built a foundation in your life. You recall on them. They all look to the promise, not backward. They look forward. And so too we. We walk in the Spirit. We let faith rise. It's a choice. Believe that he is. He's what? He's our conqueror. He's our victor. He's the one who holds the keys to all the prisons. If you feel like you're in bondage, you can be set free. He is the lamp that shines our path in which we are to walk. He is our resource. He is our strength. He is our provision. He is our power. He's our guide. He's our guard. He goes before us. He's our rear guard. Don't waver. Because the world system wants to get you off track. And others are already doing it. They're following the Pied Piper. Do-do-do-do-do. Jesus' own word said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Many. Many. You remember the old movie Poseidon Adventure? Do you guys remember that? Do you remember? And the priest or whatever, they're going. He knows the way. And there's this group. I saw it as a little kid. It's very clear. There's a larger group of people, and they're going the opposite way. He's like, that's not the way. It's not the way. You're going the wrong way. You're going to destruction. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. It's a difficult way. It's a difficult way. Peter and Paul and the book of Hebrews tell us to be diligent in our faith. It's a call. It's a race. And if we're not careful, we can easily get off that narrow path and follow the way of the world, which is what we're called to avoid, right? We're salmon swimming against the current. So where do we go from here? As with anything in the dark world, you need the light, the Word of God, right? You need the Word of God. That remains the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path that we desperately need. We need to watch and pray always, right? Watch and pray always. Matthew, Luke, and Mark, all throughout Scripture, I'm going to pepper you with these right now. Matthew 24, verses 43 through 44, but know this, that if the master of the house had not known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken to. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24, verses 45 through 46, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Watch therefore, Luke 21, 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted to worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Mark 13, 35 through 37. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And to that I say to you all, watch. Luke 12, 35 through 36. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Give me oil, right? We sang that there's a purpose behind these songs, folks. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. For when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. The appointed time is coming, folks. And the master will come when he is good and ready. Thank God he is tarrying so others can get in the way. The way, right? With a capital W, right? Not in the way. But our job is to be prepared to meet him at any hour. Life is a vapor. We have no promises for tomorrow. Life can just throw a curveball at you. So knowing that he can be coming at any hour, we need to be holy people. We need to purify and prepare. 2 Peter 3:10-12. The day of the Lord, again, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works of it are all burned. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Not a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. In holy and godliness, holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening. Do you know you can hasten? Hasten the coming of the day of God, because of which the elements will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The Lord gives us this story in Matthew 25 about the 10 virgins, right? 5 which made previous preparations, and they had oil, right? To meet the bridegroom, ready to enter in with him, the wedding. And they were sleeping, you know, they were all sleeping at the time. Like, we have cycles of people, like, you don't get to stay up all. Remember Jesus was sleeping on the boat, you know? But they were still ready. They were ready for the wedding. They were ready for the bridegroom. Exodus 19 actually gives us a parallel of this, which is, it says in Exodus 19, 10 through 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day.'" Yes. Okay. You guys know in the book of Hosea, it talks about after 2 days, then he will come, then there's the third day. So a lot of prophecy people look at, a day is a thousand day, or a thousand years is a day of the Lord. So we're at that point, 2,000, and then the third day, which ushers in the millennial kingdom, which is the third day. Who's ruling and reigning in the millennial kingdom? Yeah, okay, pretty cool. That's not on my notes here. Anyways, go to the people and consecrate them. Let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Verses 14 through 15. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, and he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day." Are you ready? Are you ready? People get right? Okay, all right, yes. See, Moses was readying his people, was consecrating them, purifying the children of Israel for their impending, their soon encounter with God. That's what he's doing. In Revelation, with the letters to the churches of Asia, 3 times garments are referenced about not being soiled. Remember, right? He addresses the 7 churches of Asia. Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day." Right? "And not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing." There's a special crown for those who are watching, folks. How cool is that? How many of us are not anticipating that crown of righteousness as a great desire to see the Lord's return for us in the sky? John talks about it in 1 John 2:28. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." It's difficult to love his appearing if you're ashamed of his coming. You see that? That's where preparedness, right? Meeting the bridegroom, that's a characteristic of the wise. 5 were wise, 5 were not, right? How about 1 John 3:2-3? "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him," here's the word, "purifies himself just as he is pure." That's a work of the Holy Spirit inside us, right? Okay. Also, purifying. 1 John 1:8-9. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're not going to be perfect in this life. You're going to sin. Take it to the Lord. Get cleansed. Get, you know, Lord, forgive me, right? Get back on. Get back on the march. Get back on the race. It says in Ephesians, let us to be continually washed with water through the word, right? Saturating our minds and hearts with God's word. Abiding in him. Clean and washed garments. The bridegroom come. Go out to meet him. Matthew 25, verse 6. Paul reminded Titus that Jesus' first coming brings salvation, right? So it's Titus 2, 11, 3. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. You special? Yeah, you're special. And then the last part is zealous for good works. Are you zealous for good works?
Yes.
Are you a zealot?
Yes.
Yeah. Some of you are getting pretty excited. You're getting opportunities to talk about the Lord at work, right? Yeah. I got to share again this past week. Even as rough as my work environment is right now, we're getting opportunities to share the truth. That's great. Zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Are you a zealot?
Yes.
And lastly, you need to be redeeming the time, right? Jesus' words in the parable of the minas or minas, right? Luke 19, 11 through 27, he uses this phrase, do business till I come. Do kingdom. How about do kingdom business till I come?
Yeah.
Do kingdom business. Walk in the light, expose the darkness, occupy and redeem the time. Ephesians 5, 8 through 16 says, for you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which can be done in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest in light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Remember again, five virgins, right? But as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It's not easy living in this world. And as believers, it's only going to get more intense for us. Right? Paul said, listen, in Acts 14, he said, listen, strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. You know, like when we come back together on Sundays, you know, you need that exhortation, that edification, that getting built back up, right? To continue in the faith. And he tells them flat out, not like some preacher in Texas, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We must, through many tribulations, enter through the kingdom of God. So when your strength is gone and you're not sure how long you can hold fast. He will give you his strength. Because it's only in his strength you're going to be able to stand with what's coming, folks. Deuteronomy 13, 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. I think about the heaviness some of you have felt these past few weeks, last few months, right? 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Yes.
You were just prayed over that, right? A word, a prophetic word given to you.
Amen.
He has plans for you, plans for a hope and a future that's going to be awesome. Matthew 11, 27 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, right? All means all. All, right? All.
Yeah.
And later he says, hey, come to me. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, right? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Right? Be still and know the I am. Isaiah 40, 31, those who wait, right? Those who wait on the Lord. Those, that word wait is looking. Those who are expecting. Those who are hoping on the Lord shall renew their strength. Because it's His strength that He's filling you with. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a supernatural strength. You know, Elijah outran a chariot. That's supernatural strength. So don't give up. You cannot give up. We are so close to the finish line, church. So close. Right? It's a living hope that we have. It's what 1 Peter talks about. And he says you got an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's not defiled. And it's reserved in heaven for you. For you. He's making the place for you right now. He's just got some finishing touches to do. It's going to be awesome. So we keep pressing on, right? We press on. Is this speaking to your heart? That was just the introduction. No, I do have some things that are going to bless you though more. But we need to keep pressing on, right? We press on. My prayer is, Lord, give us the boldness. Give us the boldness to proclaim truth. To proclaim truth. To not be shy. To not look back. But to focus on the kingdom that's coming. It's not easy, too, folks. I get it. When you like try to share with family or people, you know, you're putting yourself out there. You are. You're going to put yourself out there. If they don't accept it, they're like the son-in-laws, right? Lot's son-in-laws. But your hands will be clean. You would have done everything you could to share the truth with them, right? And to confirm that, Paul said, in Philippians 3, verse 8, he said, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And he goes on later on, he says, the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things which are behind, not turning back, right? Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call, his trumpet's going to sound. It's an upward call. We got an upward call. Yeah. So the darker the days, love not the world. Don't conform to the world, right? Jesus alone is worthy. He desires our focus. There's no going back. We're going forward. We have the promises of God. We're not to waver. We're to trust in Him. When we breathe our last breath, we will be in His presence and hear those precious words, well done, well done. So therefore, since we are also surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every weight, and sin that so easily snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See before you, I've set the door that no man can shut, because I am the one who shuts, and I am the one who opens, right? There's a plate, there's a table set for you. We talked about it yesterday. Mephibosheth was in Lodibar. He didn't know he had an inheritance. The king called him forward. King David said, whom can I bless? And he ate at the king's table forevermore. That's us. That's us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then one day he's going to stand up, he's going to take that scroll, and he's going to start popping those seals. He is the example. Let the joy of the Lord be yours. Let his strength be yours. The joy that was set before him, where you could be partakers in the joy, even in the suffering, for his kingdom, for his glory, which we are part of. And guess what? All of heaven is cheering you on. Those who have gone before you, sister, dad, son, daughter, all of them, they're cheering you on. It's not the time to give up. It's not the time to throw in the towel. Don't muzzle your mouth. Don't you stop praying for that family member either. Don't stop praying for the coworker that's so close to the truth. Don't stop praying for the friend. Be bold. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. He's with you. He is for you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's given us power for these days. And that, this is that. This is that, right? His Spirit will be poured out on all flesh and get ready to be used in a mighty way. So I'm going to share this with you because Pastor Haynes had another prophetic word to share. And he said this on July 17th. He said, "You are on the right path." The word of the Lord came unto me saying, "You are on the right path. Listen to my word and not your doubts. I am leading you along the way I have designed for you. It is a lonely way, but I go before you as well as go alongside you, so you are never alone. Like a river that seeks the lowest place, my grace runs down into the deepest needs of your heart and fills it to overflowing. Soon you will leap over every way and run victoriously through the ranks of the enemy's forces that have come against you. I have trained you to win every battle and defeat every discouragement that have sought to muffle your voices. Know this, the enemy does not have the last say. I am the Alpha and Omega of all things. I will arise on your behalf mightily in this season. Though Satan desired to sift you like wheat, I, the Lord, will give you a dance of deliverance. What you have endured has increased your faith. Your bold and courageous faith will lift you higher and cause you to soar above the troubles of the world. Many see the horizon filled with clouds. Most see only a coming storm, but your faith will see the clouds of glory. My word is greater. My plan is higher. My strength is stronger, and my purpose is more glorious than anything found on earth. Never let your faith be set on the words of men, but on the living words of God. As your eyes focus on me, you will see that I am at work in the storm, and I am setting everything in place. Your faith must never waver, for my word is forever settled in heaven and will not change. Even if every star fell from the sky and every hill and mountain crumbled into the sea, my covenant of love and my steadfast word will not be shaken. I am not the author of fear. I am not the God of doubt, but the God of yes and amen. Confusion is nothing more than the dust of the earth blown into the wind by the work of your enemy. Faith is the light that creates and empowers and sustains and heals. Come into the highest place, and your faith will emerge unbreakable and unbendable. Nothing will turn you aside when you walk with me by faith, seeing the invisible, loving the eternal, and living for the supernatural. Great faith is your destiny. Rise up and take your place with my last days overcomers. I am with you, and that will always be more than enough. Get ready to turn setbacks into comebacks. You are not like those who give up and stay sitting next to the tree. I am revealing the plots and schemes that have remained hidden out of sight. No more looking back, for I am not in your past. You can only live in the now. People are watching you even when you think that no one even knows your name. The enemy hates where I have placed you. You are my temple, and you carry my presence into every store, every building, every workplace, every hospital, every restaurant. You are the game changer that the enemy wants to silence. Continue to walk in honor and righteousness. Let your praise and worship be your first line of defense. Watch the mighty wall and towers of your enemies crumble before your feet. I have given you the land. Keep on pressing, for I am with you. Always remember, wearing a cross will not make disciples, but carrying one does. I am with you every step of the way, says the Lord. Amen? Wow. Awesome confirmations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts to the heart. We thank you, Father, for the work you're doing. We thank you for us being able to encounter your presence this morning in a mighty way. Help us to walk in your truth this week. Give us opportunities, Lord. Continue to give us opportunities to share your truth. That we would have testimonies next week, Lord, of all your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen.
You're dismissed.